The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Freud used to say the unconscious is like the ocean. Jung said, inside of each of us is a self we do not know. When you bring your story, Sarah Mare brings the psychology. You bring your problems, Sarah Mare brings the meditation. You bring introspection, Sarah Mare brings the questions. Welcome to Talk with Sarah Mare. Your life is the inspiration in these unique, entertaining conversations with psychoanalyst Sarah Mare talking about romance, aspirations, even the news, and how psychology and meditation can enrich living. When you bring your life, Sarah Mare brings the psychology. Now, here is Talk with Sarah Mare.
Hello, this is Sarah Mare. I'm your host today on Talk with Sarah Mare on Voice America Seventh Wave Network. This hour is Real People, dedicated to sharing real stories. I'm your host and psychoanalyst, Ms. Sarah Mare, live from New York City. First, I just want to thank you all for being here with us. I know you could have been anywhere in the world right now, and you're choosing to be right here with me, and I appreciate that, and I want to be here with you. So today we have a very special young lady with us named Miranda Schaefer, who is willing to share with us her experience of having gone through her older sister having a stillbirth and what it felt like to try to find the words to support her and to go through her own feelings of grieving about this family loss. We would also be playing audio tracks from a podcast that Ms. Schaefer produced to work through her experiences called Mother, What We Talk About When We Talk About Pregnancy Loss. And as we continue speaking with Ms. Miranda Schaefer today, we will hear where you can find that podcast and also, like I said, a few little audio segments live from that podcast. So let's welcome Ms. Miranda Schaefer here today. Hello, Miranda.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Good. I'm really happy to have you here. Where are you right now?
I am actually in my apartment. I usually am at work, but I decided I just wanted to... I'm in my apartment in New York City.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. So we're not too far from one another, I bet.
No, not very far at all.
Well, it's nice to hear your voice.
Yes.
And yeah, I did listen to your beautiful podcast, and I'm looking forward to talking about that and also just hear about your experience directly from you, if you're willing to just kind of share with us today.
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. So I created the podcast with Amy Gastelbaum. Create the podcast. I created an episode for the podcast, Mother. Mm-hmm. With a lot of support and help and oversight with Amy Gastelbaum and mm-hmm. Anne Noyeseni. It was published in August 19th, 2015. Mm-hmm. And it was based on my experience with my sister had a stillbirth in 2005. Stillbirth is different from miscarriage in that it happens later on in the pregnancy. My mm-hmm. sister was 7.5 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to, wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually had to give birth to the stillborn baby.
Mm, wow.
So it was a really difficult experience for her. And, I wish I could say that I was more supportive, but it's such a difficult topic, and mm-hmm. I don't think that our culture really knows how to, it's such a hard topic for people to know how to talk about.
How much older than you is your sister?
My sister is 9 years older than me.
Mm-hmm. And while she was carrying the child, did she have other children?
Yeah, she has a son. She had a son, Reed. Mm-hmm. And so she had a toddler. Mm-hmm. And then she lost this baby.
I see. And had you been, I don't know, did you have the baby shower already? How attached to the child had your family become? How did that unfold? How did you find out about the stillbirth? And can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, I got a phone call. I don't think we had had a baby shower at that point. Mm-hmm. But I got a phone call that she had lost the baby. And I believe I went to the hospital. I'm pretty sure that I did. And it's terrible that I don't remember all of the specific details, but it was a difficult time, and it was something that was sort of difficult emotionally. But I know that we had a funeral for the child. Go ahead.
Wow. Where does your sister live? How far away do you live from one another?
She's about 2 hours away in the Hudson Valley.
Mm. And so during the period of time that she was carrying the child and she told your family, you know, oh, I'm having another child and all of that, were you in touch with her consistently or how close are you?
We're close. She's always been very nurturing and she's a very, very caring person. I think she's always sort of taken care of me. And but I hadn't really been in touch with her a whole lot. I think I was used to her taking care of me and I didn't really know how to handle the prospect of discussing such a loaded topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for me, my default setting was to sort of like, think, okay, well, how would I feel if something like this happened to me? Would I want somebody to bring it up? Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really sure I would want somebody to bring it up. And so I just didn't talk to her about it, really.
Mm.
So why don't you, yes.
Well, why don't we go ahead and play a short segment from the podcast that you created to talk about this experience. It's called Mother, What We Talk About When We Talk About Pregnancy Loss. And this is a one podcast episode that Miranda Schaefer participated in creating to talk about her experience with her sister having lost a child through stillbirth at 7 months and how she kind of fought with different feelings to try to find ways to support her sister when she felt rather speechless. So let's take a few minutes here to listen to this beautiful piece of audio.
Can I ask you if you can just turn off the car for a second?
I'm sitting in a parking lot in upstate New York with my older sister, Tara.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
The car is the only quiet place I can record her. She has 3 kids and a German Shepherd. Inside the car, there are ground-up Cheerios in the seat, tiny socks, and sticky toys. The car doors automatically lock. But her life wasn't always this way.
So I went to the doctor. It was a freezing cold December morning. And the medical tech listened to the heartbeat of the baby. And I couldn't hear heartbeat, but for some reason, it didn't really occur to me that that was a problem. I can't explain why. So then she sent the doctor in. And so she did an ultrasound and she said, "I'm so sorry, I don't see anything." And Reed was with me, my son, and he was holding a little engine in his hand, a little Thomas the Tank engine. And I remember sort of the world coming to an end. It was so deeply shocking and so difficult to imagine.
My sister was 7 months pregnant when she lost the baby. In medical terms, that's a stillbirth, because she was over 5 months. It's a subject that no one knows how to talk about. Or maybe it's something that I didn't know how to talk about. I began the interview by trying to explain why I had trouble being there for her.
You've talked to me about how, you know, the importance of people not sort of...
You can hear how nervous I am.
Shutting down women have lost their...
I'm trying to talk about how I reacted. The mic noise, the number of times I use the word like.
You know, I feel like... So me, like your own sister, like it was really hard for me to like...
Talking about this is hard. Even though she's my sister, maybe because she's my sister, it's hard to explain why I could not be there.
You know.
And then I lose my nerve. So I ask her about how other people reacted. I ask her if she felt isolated.
I do think that people tried really hard to get to me. It's just that you're in this box ball by yourself, you know? And it isn't their fault. People try really hard to be there. It's just really scary. And so I don't want to throw people under the bus, you know, because they tried.
Yeah.
Like, it's much more complicated.
I don't think you're going to be throwing anybody under the bus.
Let's see.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, good. Yeah, so it's your sister's name is Tara? Is that what she said?
Yes, it's Tara.
Yeah. It was so courageous of the both of you, I feel, to sit down together and have this conversation and be able to make it available to other people to try to understand how to have deeper empathy for a mother who's gone through such a loss. It's something that I don't think many people really know how to find words for. And I think the loss never goes away from the mother or the family afterward, no matter what phase in the child's life the child's life ends. Is it a miscarriage, a stillbirth, a sickness at birth, or a live death later on in life? I don't know that a mother ever really recovers. So this is a very courageous topic to try to explore and to try to open up to other people. So I thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
it was incredibly generous of her to sit down with me. Tara, I know that, well, one, pregnancy loss is very common. And so it happens to a lot of women and a lot of couples, but it's still very much a taboo subject. And I think that, you know, my sister really wanted to shed light on that because just that the fact that it's a taboo made her feel... makes other women feel very isolated when they go through this. And because we don't really have the language to talk about it, then even though it's really common, women just are left, women are very isolated when it comes to this sort of subject. And so that's why I wanted to talk about it. And why my sister's been so open about this subject.
What did it feel like for you sitting with her during those moments in the car when you turned on the recorder? What were some of the feelings that you remember having?
Oh, it was so awkward. It was very it was painful, and it still is painful sometimes to even listen to the piece because. I'm used to, I have recorded people in the past. I'm a radio producer and, but you know, recording her and recording the subject made me feel, very anxious. And so there was tape noise and I kept on saying the word like, yeah, it was definitely a difficult subject. But it was something that I wanted to go into with her.
Yeah. She said in this recording that we just played that she had had her son with her when she found out that the heartbeat had ceased. Have you had contact with her son since or during that time? Were you close with her son, her living son?
Yes, Reed is a wonderful kid. He is 13 now, and he's incredibly mature and also really nurturing too. I've never talked to him about his experience with it. Maybe that's a conversation we'll have when he gets older, but I think that she once said that, you know, he was aware of the fact that something had happened. He wasn't sure what exactly it was, and I think she tried to explain it to him. But he understood that something serious had happened, and
Yeah, it's probably too much to put into words for a young boy, and even at 13, it's something that he probably lives with unconsciously but hasn't quite learned to verbalize much. Yeah, it sounds like.
Yeah, he's a very empathic little, he's not a little kid anymore. He's a very empathic young man.
I imagine it's something that it sounds like the whole family will be learning to understand how to talk about and deal with, you know, for the rest of your lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, certainly. As you said, I don't think that you ever really, it's not something that ever leaves you.
Mm-hmm. Did she have a bedroom already created for the infant, the one she was carrying?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, she already had a toddler, so she had a lot of the sort of baby paraphernalia already set from the previous child. You know, she was 7.5 months pregnant, so she was definitely, there was this expectation that the baby would arrive and shortly. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that, so when it didn't, that was really, well, I can't really speak for my sister, but I know that it was a jarring experience for me. And it's sad. It's very common, and it happens to a lot of women.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a very short commercial break here. This is Sarah Made and my guest Miranda Schaefer here talking about a difficult and taboo subject that a lot of mothers go through, stillbirth or miscarriage or you know, any kind of loss of a child. But we're primarily discussing stillbirth today through Miranda's experience with her older sister having lost at 7 months. When we come back after this short commercial break, we will talk about how women who suffer the loss of a child feel in their community of other mothers after the loss, and also how understanding the mother's loss isn't necessarily required to be able to help her. So please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Talk with Sarah Mare.
Call Sarah Mare now at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or Skype at Talk with Sarah Mare. Or email at talkwithsarahmare@gmail.com. Now back to this week's program.
Welcome back. This is Sarah Mare on Talk with Sarah Mare on Voice America Seventh Wave Network. I'm here today with a lovely young woman named Miranda Schaefer, who went through a stillbirth experience through her older sister. She's the younger sister of a woman who lost a child at 7 months. And we're discussing the difficulties of putting these experiences into words and understanding how to talk with a person who's grieving such a profound loss, how to be supportive. So, Miranda, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hi.
One of the things that I remember hearing in the podcast episode that you created about this experience was the feeling of being a cautionary tale that your sister had gone through after she had the stillbirth, that she felt that the other women in her community kind of looked at her differently, and she sort of had a dark cloud around her because they didn't want that to happen to them, or and they didn't know what to say. And I was wondering if you could talk about that.
Exactly. I think that's such a beautiful and sort of damning phrase to use. Mm-hmm. But it kind of makes sense in that, it's hard, people don't really know exactly what causes a lot of miscarriages and stillbirths. I mean, and I'm not an expert by any means. In my sister's case, she later found out that it was a blood clotting disorder. But because it's sort of unknown, there is something kind of, it's that unknown quality that makes it very frightening. And so, you know, she mentioned being about 35 and just that, you know, when people don't really know why it happens and a lot of people don't really know what to say. And so the subject just becomes, she becomes a cautionary tale. She becomes very isolated in that group of young mothers.
Mm-hmm. I agree that the phrase cautionary tale is quite prolific for this experience, and it conjures up an image to me of feeling like a shadow or a ghost, and mm-hmm. somebody that people sort of point at and say, well, don't do what she did wrong because it's her fault that this happened, kind of thing. And I think that that's a terrible experience for a woman who's gone through such a profound loss. And it can be anything, like you said, a blood clot. But so many people want to point fingers and say that they had done something wrong. Did your sister ever express feeling guilt or some feeling like she hadn't taken care of the baby properly inside of her?
No. She's very... It was a surprise. I mean, her first pregnancy was fine, mm-hmm. and then the second pregnancy, you know, ended in the stillbirth, and it came as a complete surprise mm-hmm. that it came down to this sort of blood clotting disorder, which is actually genetic. So she said it's important for you to know this because it's very easily treated.
Wow.
But I think I'm sure she had moments when she felt guilty or worried, but in the past few years, I think that she's just accepted the fact that it was just kind of like a tragic circumstance that happened. And, you know, unfortunately, there wasn't anything she could really do about it. And I don't think, unfortunately, there wasn't anything she could do except, she told me that that the loss was caused to a genetic disease.
Right. Right. So that you would get tested for that kind of thing more efficiently in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I ever got pregnant or something like that, at that point, getting pregnant was the last thing on my mind.
How old were you at the time? I don't
mean let's see, if she's 35, then I would have been 26, I believe. Wait, let me just do the math really quickly.
Right, that's right. You said there were nine years, yeah.
Yeah, so I just don't want to make a mistake on air about that.
So you were right around the time when women usually in the society start to think about the possibility of having a child and when they would want to do that.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was... So it was really, it was an experience watching her go through that. Because it was a dramatic change in her personality. I would say dramatic, but it really affected her. And I just sort of stood by and waited for her to get better, but I didn't really know how to help her. And I just sort of stood on the sidelines and waited for her to get better because I didn't really know how to handle that kind of thing. I don't think that in our society we know how to discuss pregnancy loss.
Well, let's take a moment and listen to another audio clip from the podcast that you created, the podcast episode that you created. It's called Mother, What We Talk About When We Talk About Pregnancy Loss. Okay, so let's all listen in for a few minutes of the dialogue between Miranda and her sister Tara about this.
I think that after the loss, I definitely felt in a crowd of women like a cautionary tale. You know, when you're 35, a lot of people are pregnant around you. So, you know, your community of women tends to be a community that's very, very child-centered and very, very child-focused. So if you have a loss and then you go to birthday parties and playgrounds and pickups at preschools, you know, there was a woman at preschool who she asked to hug me, and she was somebody who, she's a really nice person, and yet we always had this weird interaction around my loss, because she tried really hard to say kind things to me, and I kept on accidentally rebuffing her, and I totally didn't mean to. Like, she asked to hug me, I let her hug me, but it was uncomfortable. When I was pregnant again, she realized that I was, and she said, I'm so happy for you. And I think I said no comment because I really didn't want to acknowledge the pregnancy because I was afraid to acknowledge the pregnancy. I called her back later because I meant it as a joke, but I see that it wasn't funny. I see that it was just really rude, and I didn't mean to be rude, but I was just really shut down. I called her later, and she was like, nope, no comments, cool. And then she pretty much hung up on me. And then, when I was almost going to have David, she came up to me and said, so have you decorated the nursery? And again, she was trying to make conversation, but I was like, no. So, never spoke to me. I didn't mean to shut her out. And she could have been a little bit less angry at me when I wasn't instantly able to connect with her. But, you know, there are all sorts of misunderstandings that occur around it.
I can't remember much about that time. I think I called. I went to the funeral, and it was cold. I tried to be there for her, but I didn't know how to do that.
It's a hard thing. I think that a mistake that bereaved people sometimes make is sort of wishing that people understood or expecting that people understood. And with every fiber of our being, actually, we know we don't want them to understand.
I didn't understand. To me, it seemed like a problem with no solution. And it weirded me out. Maybe if I had known that understanding wasn't required, it would have been easier to be there.
Wow. the both of you say so many touching feelings, and I feel like I'm in the car with you. It's really lovely of you to have been so generous with this experience to share it with people, so that we can try to understand how we would respond in this circumstance.
Thank you.
Yeah, she talked about. Well, she does in this clip talk about, you know, what it's like being a woman in the community of other women after having this stillbirth, and some of her feelings toward that particular woman who she felt was a little invasive and also kind of cold. And then she talks about understanding, and you also talk about it as well, and that it's not necessary to understand. I think that's a really profound point to make that could be misunderstood by some people, and I'd love for you to just talk more about that, because I think it's an opening to a deeper understanding about how to be empathic and be there for people.
Absolutely. And I just want to mention one thing, because I know that she was a little bit afraid of throwing somebody under the bus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that she was saying that she felt like she was cold, and that this mm-hmm. woman was just, she was trying to reach out, she was trying to be kind, mm-hmm. and my sister just wasn't in a place where she knew how to handle that, and so she was a little bit awkward, mm-hmm. She was a little bit cold, and then unfortunately that's sort of where it ended. But yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that what my sister said about the idea of understanding was incredibly generous, and really the best way. It really gave me a lot of freedom to, I think it helped me understand how to see what happened, and also how to, you know, in the past I've also dealt with other deaths and other difficult circumstances where, and just knowing that the idea of just being there and not understand, you know, you don't really have to understand what a person's going through, mm-hmm. Has been incredibly helpful for me in terms of not just seeing how the stillbirth affected her, but also just, you know, when other people that I know have gone through a loss, just mm-hmm. kind of, as she said, like saying, like, just trying to be there as much as possible in whatever way they need. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
Yeah, I think. Sorry.
Just by being, by being present and not necessarily trying to do a specific thing that you think will help them or will make you feel better, but rather to just try to listen and understand that you don't understand, which will make your anxiety level go down, and you can just sort of be with the person by accepting your loss of understanding and knowledge of what to do. Yeah,
exactly. Tara created a website. You know, when she went through this, she had a really hard time, and she needed a community. And so she created a website called Reconceiving Loss, for women who've gone through, who've lost pregnancies. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really wonderful. It's a good resource for anybody, who's gone through this. And, one thing that she also writes about it for Huffington Post and Psychology Today.
Wow.
And one thing that she also makes a point of mentioning is that this doesn't just affect women, it also affects the men, too.
Absolutely.
Pregnancy loss can be devastating for the fathers as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And it can be very hard on the relationship. A lot of relationships don't survive that.
Absolutely.
That loss. Yeah. I know there's so many areas of this topic that we could, you know, that we could talk about, and I certainly don't minimize any of it by not taking the time to really explore each aspect. But I, you know, since we only have so much time. I feel like we could spend 3 hours talking about this. We've been sort of focused on your experience as the younger sister to a woman, who's gone through a stillbirth and what that was like for you to try to support her and how it was helpful for you to make a podcast episode out of that and how therapeutic that was for, it sounds like it was for both of you to do that and helpful for everybody for you to share it. I think we're going to take a short break here. Yeah. This is Sarah Amade and my guest Miranda Schaefer discussing what it's like to support a family member through a stillbirth. We're here on Voice America, Seventh Wave Network. Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll discuss how creating a podcast episode helped Miranda understand how to support her sister better, how it was therapeutic. And we'll continue talking about how not necessarily understanding is okay and you can still be there for somebody in time of grieving. Well, we'll also take a few minutes to do a short meditation on how to find the words and empathy to be with somebody who's in deep loss when we don't know what to say or do. So please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Talk with Sarah Mare. Call Sarah Mare now at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or Skype at Talk with Sarah Mare. Or email at talkwithsarahmare@gmail.com. Now back to this week's program.
Welcome back. This is Sarah Amade on Talk with Sarah Amade here with Miranda Schaefer discussing what it's like to support an older sibling, in this case her sister, through a stillbirth and how to find the words. Hi, Miranda.
Well, hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I wanted to ask you if you could help our listeners find you on the internet, find the podcast episode that you created and your sister's website and anything else you want to share with us?
Yes. So I am at MirandaSchaefer.com, mm-hmm. and my last name is completely phonetic, so it's S-H-A-F-E-R. The podcast Mother is at the website MotherApodcast.com. So that's all mm-hmm. one word. And then my sister's site, Reconceiving Loss, is reconceivingloss.com. And we'll have information for all that on the web copy, I believe.
Okay, good.
Great.
Yeah, we have the promotional e-card for this show that has both of those links set up there. So if listeners didn't have a chance to write that down and you want to find both the podcast episode and Miranda's sister's website as well as Miranda's website, you can look at our promo card out there on voiceamerica.com and on all of our different social networks. And you'll be able to find those links right there. I'd like to play a third audio clip from the Mother podcast. It is very interesting to hear, I think, live Tara's voice and Miranda's voice talking with one another. So let's just take a moment to play that.
I thought giving her support meant helping her move past her grief. And I was confused to realize that this isn't the type of thing people get over. I didn't realize how badly she was affected by the loss until she started writing about it publicly on her website.
The fact that people try to understand or try to be there for you without understanding. I have one friend who came up to me and she said, you know, I don't know what to say to you and I don't know how to be with you, but I'll tell you what, I'm just going to keep on showing up. And that was just about the greatest thing that anybody ever said to me, because she did. She's always shown up, and she's to this day one of my best friends. So she is an example of somebody that really just stuck it.
I don't know if I stuck it. I don't know if I was even helpful. I kind of wanted to ask her, but instead I say...
You feel like David did a good job in being there for you?
David is my older brother. They got to be teenagers together while I was learning to read.
My brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as much as anybody could be. Nobody could really be there for me, Miranda, because I was there by myself, and that was okay. That's the point. Like, we look for people to be there and support us, and they are as best they can. And so as long as your expectations of them aren't insane, then they will be there for you because they love you. Like, the people that love me were there for me whether or not they thought they were. That's what it comes down to. It's not understanding. It's love. It's like... love can be frustrating and it can be all sorts of things, but I am touched by the people that just showed up or called or cried or did the best they could to, you know, just not leave. I mean, that's the minimum standard for care, and it's a really hard one to meet sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, that's the point.
And yeah, it's really beautiful. And again, I thank you so much for creating this and for sharing it with everybody. One of the things that your sister says in this piece is that her friend said, I don't know what to say to you and I don't know how to be with you, but I will tell you that I'm just going to keep showing up. And that was the most helpful and supportive feeling that Tara had after, you know, one of her friends spoke with her. So, and this is something that you said that you had learned from this experience. Can you talk a little bit more about why and how that is so helpful to somebody going through a loss?
I think it's important. I loved what that friend said to her, and I feel like I kind of used it as a template in terms of when somebody that I know has gone through a loss or is going through a difficult period, it's important to let them know that you're not going to just leave them or that you're still going to be there. But, I think it's important just to sort of say, just to sort of state that, like, you don't really know what they need, but you're here.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I've said to people who've gone through a loss or a difficult time, I'll say, is there anything I can do to help, or what would help you? And sometimes they don't know. So I'll suggest things like, can I bring you, can I run to Trader Joe's for you? Can I pick up groceries? A friend of mine, her grandmother, she went through a period where she lost her grandmother and her stepfather. And so I just said to her, I was like, do you want to just go and get a manicure pedicure? And, it's such a sort of benign, stupid thing, but at the same time, I just wanted to do something with her that would be very, that would try to get her mind off it. And I just said, when we sat down, I said, we can talk or we don't have to talk about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think that I really wish my sister had not gone through that experience. But at the same time, it was kind of a lesson that I needed to learn in terms mm-hmm. of that even if I don't really know what to do, it's important to just stay there, state that I don't really know, but I'm open to instruction.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think of the presence that a mother has with an infant. If a mother's able to just contain the infant's feeling state without trying to change it necessarily, I mean, unless the child is clear about what they need, like food or sleep, but basically, if the mother is able to just sort of be with the child and kind of vibrate in the same emotional resonance with the child, there's a healing and there's a calming effect that occurs just through that deep ability to empathize rather than try to change, fix it, or freak out on their own, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's important to just sort of let somebody go through what they're going through and
mm-hmm.
and listen.
Yeah, and just to be there is huge. It has a huge effect that we're not even consciously aware of because we don't feel like we're doing anything.
Exactly.
But we're offering presence, you know, which is, I think, bigger than we even realize. So, I mean, this is a really wonderful message to be giving to people who are listening to your podcast episode and listening to us today, you know, that sometimes we don't just need to find out what to do, rather the thing to do is just to sit there and be present and be loving and be open to the person's emotional state and try to join them in that. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah. I would like to spend a few minutes before the close of show just sitting in a very kind of simple meditation that is designed to help somebody find the ability to contain the deep feelings of another and find the words to say in a grieving situation. So I'd love for you to stay on the line with us, Miranda, if you can.
I'd love that.
Okay, good. So let's all just close our eyes for a moment. Take a few deep breaths. Just begin to feel the opening of your diaphragm just below your rib cage and just below your heart. Just as you breathe in, you start to feel this very warm opening in your body just beneath your rib cage. Let it be very simple. And as you exhale, feel the warmth of your breath moving through your heart, through the vibration of your heartbeat, through your throat, through your mouth or your nostrils, whichever you choose. It's a very simple meditative beginning that you can do anytime during the day. You don't have to sit down for 30 minutes a day to meditate. You can just find your breath, feel the very slow and steady opening of your breath in your body, and feel the vibration of your breath moving as you exhale. And now put your awareness in your heart. Feel the slow beating of your heart, which mysteriously and profoundly continues throughout the day and night. We don't know why and don't know where from and don't know for how long. Just noticing the vibration of your heartbeat and the warmth that your heart creates in your body through its movement. Keep your awareness in your heart and then open your eyes and look at the person who you want to be able to support in a grieving process. Somebody who's gone through a stillbirth, somebody who's lost a family member, somebody who's been through a trauma, somebody who's deeply hurt and upset and confused and that you want to be able to be there for. And just notice how you feel in your heart and in your body when you open your eyes and you look at them. Do you feel afraid that you're not going to know what to say? Do you feel overwhelmed by their feelings? Do you feel lost? And are you able to just be with those feelings Are you able to just contain all of these unknowns, all of these fearful experiences in your body, and continue to feel your heart opening and just experience this aspect of the human condition, the unknown, the loss, the grieving of life, the mystery of life, the realization that it's fleeting and it's very profoundly special to be here now. And just continue to look into the eyes of this person that you want to be there for. Try to feel what you're feeling. Notice what you're observing they're feeling. Try to communicate a feeling of love through your eyes to their eyes without even speaking. Imagine that you are bigger than your body, that you are the energetic life force, and that life force can contain and receive and resonate with the depth of any feeling, of any loss, of all aliveness at once. That is the profound turn of nature, the constant connection and rejection, attachment, detachment. That is what's going on all the time in us, around us. And as you continue to just look into the eyes of this person, if any words come to mind, anything comes to you that feels that it needs to move through you verbally, just let yourself say it out loud before you're even sitting with that person in the world, just in this meditation with them. Allow yourself to speak. See what comes from you. If any writing comes from you, write it down. And we're going to have to begin to move on today from this episode of Talk with Sarah Mate. I am looking forward to being with you next week. And I want to thank Miranda Schaefer for being with us here today to share her experience of having supported her sister through a stillbirth and the continued feelings that will never go away and always be a part of her and her family and her sister and all of us forever. Thank you, Miranda, for being with us. I hope you all listen to her podcast, and I hope to see you next week. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Talk with Sarah Mare. We can't wait to hear more from you and share more with you on next week's program. Please be here next Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Have an enlightening week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thwavenetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.